And this is Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. And with the numbers from the CME Group as they traded overnight in Chicago, we'll bring you a complete list of those numbers in just a few minutes. But at the moment, trade is lower there in Chicago, down about 4 cents in the beans. And the corn futures are down about 6 at this hour. Taking a quick look at the news headlines as West Texas, that's the small city, begins to rebuild. The city mayor and the former manager of the West Fertilizer Company hope a new fertilizer company will soon locate in their city, which of course was rocked by tragedy earlier in the year. Because of continuing drought conditions, the USDA Farm Service Agency, or FSA, has approved a total of 429 counties in 9 U.S. states for emergency haying and grazing. And it appears that low temperatures and slow development are only a major issue for wheat prospects in northern crop areas, and that that has caused the rootworm hatch in the Midwest to be a bit late. And it comes along with corn pollination, which could put emerging corn silks at risk. So it's time, say some of the entomologists across the Midwest to scout corn fields. Here's what the numbers look like for the national average basis for corn this week. It was up a penny at 94 cents over the September futures contract. 11 cents higher for the National Corn Index, and it's trading at $5.70. The national average basis for soybeans down 6 cents at 84 cents over the November futures contracts, while the DTN National Soybean Index was down 18 cents at $12.65. The hard red winter wheat average national basis up a penny at 15 cents under the September futures contract, and the DTN National Hard Red Winter Wheat Index was unchanged at $6.91.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Here's Drew Lerner of World Weather Incorporated with an update of the weather forecast.
Showers and thunderstorms will occur across a large part of the Midwest as we go forward through these next few days. I think the precipitation will probably be most concentrated on southern portions of the region, and Iowa's best chance for rain will probably occur tomorrow. After that, it looks rather dry to me across the state, and the opportunity for rain again in Iowa may not return until we get to the first part of next week, or at least Sunday at the earliest. Well, the frontal boundary that's responsible for this week's precipitation will be cutting through the northwestern part of the Corn Belt here later today and tomorrow. And that's the frontal system that will bring in an opportunity for rain in the northwestern portions of the Corn Belt and including Iowa. This morning on radar, we saw some thunderstorms moving through the southeast corner of Minnesota, southwestern Wisconsin, and northeastern Iowa. These thunderstorms will likely fall apart as we move through the morning and into the early afternoon. Not expecting to see a huge amount of improvement in soil moisture to come from these storms, but every bit of moisture is certainly welcome. The rest of Iowa will see some spotty showers and thunderstorms today. A little cluster in southeastern South Dakota will go ahead and pass into parts of Iowa, probably fall apart a little bit, though, as it does. And then tomorrow we'll see that frontal system come through the western Corn Belt, and that's our best opportunity for rain. There's a slight chance we may see a thunderstorm cluster develop across parts of southeastern South Dakota and northeastern Nebraska that could run into western Iowa. If you recall, western Iowa has the biggest dryness issue, and that's the area that everyone continues to be focused on. The rest of the western Corn Belt is not nearly as dry, although the eastern Dakotas and parts of Minnesota need rain as well as Iowa. The heaviest rains over these next few days will likely occur from Kansas into the Ohio River Basin, and most of those areas will see the best rainfall as we go from Tuesday into Wednesday and Thursday of this week. The frontal boundary that is expected to pass through will be very slow moving in these areas, allowing for repetitive thunderstorms to occur. Some 1 to 2 and local 3-inch plus amounts of rain may occur across a part of this region. We'll watch real closely for the signs of maybe some local flooding, or even some hail and some damaging wind coming with some of these storms. Once the frontal system pushes through the entire Midwest, it will become stationary just south of the Ohio River Valley, and that will most likely set the stage for a little bit of shower activity in Kentucky, but I don't think there'll be much rain from Illinois or eastern Iowa or northeastern Missouri over to Ohio or Michigan during much of the end of this week or into the weekend. Now, next week, a ridge of high pressure may build up across the plains, and as it does, a warm front may form along the western fringes of the Corn Belt. The position of the ridge and how intense it is will determine where that warm front will end up lying. If the front can advance a little bit further to the east so that it's in Missouri and Iowa, then we'll see our best opportunity for rainfall in Iowa at that point in time. If the ridge is further out over the Rocky Mountains or is a weaker ridge, it most likely will not allow the warm front to reach as far to the east, and therefore the rain prospects in the dry areas of the western Corn Belt will be somewhat reduced. In the meantime, it looks like most everybody across the Midwest will have opportunity for rain this week. Next week, it's going to be mostly in the western Corn Belt, though, and maybe in some southern locations. Temperatures across the region this week are going to be cooler biased, but over the next 2 or 3 days, we'll see our temperatures closest to normal. We'll probably see high temperatures running mostly in the 70s across the northern parts of the region with 80s in the south. As we get into the latter part of this week, actually maybe midweek, Wednesday and Thursday, we'll see those 70-degree readings overrunning a larger part of the Midwest. And on Thursday, we'll probably see only the southernmost parts of the region getting up into the 80s. Low temperatures at night this week will likely be mostly in the 50s and 60s. We'll see a few lower 70s here over the next 2 or 3 mornings. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
All right, thanks, of course. Go to Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated for his daily updates of the weather forecast. Here's how the numbers are trading in Chicago at the CME Group. At this hour, futures in the corn pit are 5 3/4 lower in the September at 470 1/4, December at 461 1/2, down 2 1/4, and the March at 474 1/2, 2 cents lower. Next year's December at 493 1/4, down 1 1/2. August soybeans at 1327, 4 cents lower. September down 15 1/2 at 1197 1/2, and November beans at 1177 1/2 are down 4 cents. January futures 1183 1/2, 3 3/4 lower. Bean meal futures down $8.10. Bean oil off 3 cents. Live cattle futures in the October at 124.47 1/2. Actually, that's not the numbers for the day. We'll get those to you a bit later. Now, let's take a look at how those numbers are trading in Chicago and what it all means for the day. Chip Nellinger is on the phone line. He's at Blue Reef Agri Marketing in Morton, Illinois, to discuss the markets with us. Good morning to you, Chip.
Good morning, Todd.
Well, tell me about the weather forecast, what it tells you about the coming week, and whether that is still the driving force in Chicago or not.
I think it absolutely is. There's not a lot to talk about other than the weather, and it's just non-threatening. You know, with these low to mid 80-degree temperatures for highs, enough rainfall around that it's just creating a non-threatening environment, and the easiest path right now for these markets in the corn and the beans is lower. So absolutely, weather is still the driving force here in the short run.
It remains that in the short run. There should be a time, I suppose, that futures will turn to something else. And it could be the 12th of August when those numbers come out from USDA. But at some point, they'll have to feel satisfied that the crop is as big as it's going to get, I suppose, although sometimes big gets bigger, I guess.
Exactly. I think we may be starting to see that a little bit. We had that push down, hard push on big volume here right after the reopen of the grains at 8:30, and we since bounced. Then we traded back up into higher territory. So I think maybe we're getting close enough to that August 12th report here a week from today. And the market has just been beat up so badly, really oversold from a technical perspective, that at some point here in the very near future, wouldn't be surprised if you see some short covering. But like you said, we still have a lot of questions out there. This acreage issue isn't going to go away anytime. We've got the bean acreage resurvey that they're going to release next Monday. Your question is exactly what the market will be dealing with, and that is, what is the ultimate size of this crop? How big is it? And you still have a lot of variance, all the way up from people now at or above 160 on corn yields for their estimates to still, somewhere under the last USDA estimate. So still a lot of difference of opinions there.
Yeah, speaking of difference of opinions, we have some who are friendly to the market, some who remain bearish the market. Which area do you lay in?
Well, I think from this level on corn and beans, you know, we factored in big crops. Not that you can't go lower, but I think you have to lean a little bit that this market's overdone. Personally, I still think that you're going to see some changes in acreage. When that happens, that's the question. It could be on this October crop report. So I'm in the camp that, we have seen a higher than average amount of prevent plant. And probably overshooting. You know, this market, whether it's to the top side or the downside, has a strong historical tendency the last few years to overshoot itself. So I think we're in the process of that in corn as far as getting to a pretty large crop, maybe one that's factored into prices that we ultimately don't achieve. I think beans are still up in the air, though. We've got a long time to go on bean production. And then, you know, you can't hang your hat on this, but frost is still going to be an issue as late as these crops are, and with the cooler weather slowing things down here the last couple weeks.
Hey, Chip, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Chip Nellinger is with Blue Reef Agri Marketing. He's in Morton, Illinois, and joins us here on the closing market report on the opening market report to take a look at the CME Group numbers. You are, of course, listening to WILL AM 580 and WILL FM 90.9 HD3 Urbana. It's the top of the hour, 9 o'clock Central Time. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for WILL Agriculture comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC. Land auctions, farm management, financial services, and institutional and corporate real estate. Information on upcoming land auctions can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.